Father, receive our worship and our praise. For there is no one like the God of Jeshurun. You ride the heavens to help us in your excellency on the clouds. You, the eternal God, are our refuge, and underneath are your everlasting arms. You have thrust out our enemies before us. You have destroyed them. And we, like Israel, dwell in safety as it is this morning. The fountain of Jacob alone, and the land of grain and new wine, his heavens shall drip dew. Happy are we. Who is like you, O people, saved by the Lord? The shield of our help, the sword of your majesty. You have taken our enemies and made them submit to you. And you have tread down our high places. We could never repay, but from our heart, we just want to say, thank you, Lord. All God's people said, amen, amen. Amen. May be seated. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Anybody besides my wife's husband having a hard time to figure out what to do the next minute? Well, here's what we need to do the next minute, if it's at all possible. Do I have 19 intrepid souls in here? Do I have 19 people that would like to read? Okay, can I assign you a number that we can remember for more than 1 second? Can you remember I'm 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Can we do that? Who would like to be number one? Romans 1:7. 1 Corinthians 1:3. Don't read beyond, before or past, just read those verses. Okay? So John, 1 Corinthians 1:3. Who's number three? 2 Corinthians 1:2. Galatians 1:3. Ephesians 1:2. Chapter 1, verse 2. Philippians 1:2. Colossians 1:2. 1 Thessalonians 1:1. 2 Thessalonians 1:2. 1 Timothy 1:2. 2 Timothy 1:2. 1 Thessalonians 1:1 is Colossians 1:2, Philippians 1:2, Ephesians. We're doing good, right? Number 6 is Philippians 1:2. Number 5 is Ephesians 1:2. Number 4 is Galatians 1:3. Number 3 is 2 Corinthians 1:2. Number 2 is 1 Corinthians 1:3. And number 1 is Romans 1:7. Okay, so Timothy 1:4, who would like to do that? Philemon 1:3, number 13. Number 14, 1 Peter 1:2. 2 Peter 1:2. Number 16, that's 1 John 1:4. Number 17. John 1:3. Number 18, Jude. Jude, it says to those who are called, because there's not a verse on that. Okay, I'm sorry. And then Revelation 1:4-6. Nothing before, nothing after. Revelation 1:4-6. Please, just think about what you read, because it's going to, hopefully it will all sound familiar. So number 1, 1 Thessalonians 1:1, 2 Thessalonians 1:2, that's Titus 1:4. Mercy, grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Philemon, Peter. In 2 Peter 1:2, 1 John 1:4, 2 John 1:3, Jude, and last of all, Revelation 1:4-6. What's the message? What's mercy? Now think about this for a second. Think about this for a second. Think legal. Think judicial. Grace is unmerited favor. And so what comes from the judge before you get grace? Mercy. What comes once you get mercy and grace? Peace. Shalom, y'all. Shalom, baby. Amen. Shalom. Wholeness, wellness, completeness. Paul was a lawyer. What's thinking back in just general, what was the first thing that Jesus said to the disciples every time he showed up? Peace. Or don't be afraid, fear not. And what were the disciples always do? Think about this. What is the most often recorded activity of the disciples? Arguing. About what? Who's the greatest? Those people go to some other church, not to ours. I mean, you know, being a Baptist, I know we're the best, you know. I mean, so what if we needed more than anything else in all this storm, firestorm? We've needed mercy water. Well, you got lots of that. Mercy, grace, and peace. Why are we all here today? Mercy, grace, and peace. What are we to find when we find each other? Mercy, grace, and peace. Amen? We all need a hug. Now, let me ask you a question. When you need a hug really bad, who's the person that you appreciate the most? The hugger or the huggy? The hugger. So, it's more blessed to what? Jesus said very simply, it's more blessed to hug than to be hugged. To give than to receive. And what happens when you hug others? You get hugged back. Amen? There are 27 New Testament books. And 19 times in 27 books it says grace, mercy, and peace. Mercy, grace, peace. For God so loved the world that he what? His what? Let's go. That? For God did not send his son into the world to what? To condemn the world. But that the world through him might be saved. Let me ask you a question. Did you ever feel like your life was worthless and you were going to hell? What do most of those people out there feel like? So let me ask you a question. Do they need to be told that they're going to hell? Or do they need to find some grace, mercy, and peace? Why? Because we need good news. When Jesus showed up, he came to show grace, mercy, and peace, and then he died on the cross to bring grace, mercy, and peace, and then he rose from the dead to prove that it wasn't a lie. Amen? a living hope. A living hope. And he told us to go into all the world and preach the what? What's gospel? It means good news. You're going to hell. It's not good news. I knew that. You don't have to. Really. Does everybody want good news? Well, they say they do. Until you tell them the only way to good news is Jesus Christ. You got another option. I I've told you because you know this, but I pay a lot of attention to ads on TV. And some of them are pretty profound about how life really is. Those guys really know us. Okay? And there was an ad for a certain beer. I won't tell you what it was because I can advertise it, and I don't want to do that. But this guy's going across the desert. I'm thirsty. And he's crawling across the sand, and he's digging in the sands, and he's like, oh, water, water, I'm thirsty. And all of a sudden, guy comes up with fresh water. He goes, what, you got no beer? Was he thirsty? Not really. You know, I've become convinced that, well, see, you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I've become convinced that a lot of people are thirsty horses that are afraid to drink the water because we've muddied it. Because like in the old-time Westerns, it's got loco weed in it. And God has given us living water, hasn't he? So we just need God's grace to present living waters to thirsty people and to not muddy the water for them. That's just an encouragement for us. But I want to, about evangelism, but this town, this whole ridge, is, I said last week, the license plate frame, a little above paradise, is a whole new meaning, isn't it? I want to give us an encouragement because this conversation has come up recently. When you live up here now, we're all driving back down that hill. And for those of us that live up here, we go down that hill every day. And what do we see?
Devastation.
What's that going to do to our psyche? It's going to get depressing, isn't it? And little by little, though, we will see it come back, but it's going to be a long, long time. And for many people who have got their homes, there's survivor's guilt. And then there's also the idea that what I was going to say is that you look out, you're living in that house because you can, and you look around and there's devastation all around you. My house is sits on the canyon. How many of you have been to my house? Okay, I mean, I had one of the most beautiful views. I could even get my binoculars out and spy on John. But the trees were in the way, John.
They'll all stand out now.
The trees are in the way. Well, they're skinny trees. But it's going to be a long time before that grows back, and yet we're starting to see green. But Psalm 1 tells us that God has planted us by rivers of living water. That's living, that's the Holy Spirit. And what does planted suggest? Well, it's going to grow, but what else does planted suggest? Purpose. Put there. There's a purpose for why we are here and others are gone. There's a purpose for what was lost and what is still here or what will be. And that's where trusting God becomes more than just a nice idea. The other thing about that is we have no choice but to trust God. But to get that from here to here, you know, I can tell, you know, I remember some, and I've said this out of the pulpit, but we're so far on saying is Jesus is all I need. Wow. When he's all you got, that's a whole nother world. I'm needy. Someone has said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, but I do want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Why? Because I'm not settled down. He has to make me to lie down in green pastures. He has to lead me beside still waters. He has to restore my soul. Amen? And someone has said that at the end of Psalm 23rd Psalm, surely what will follow me? That's the two twin puppies. That's the two twin puppies at your heels. Goodness and mercy. They keep nipping at your heels. And then about the time they nip at your heels and you've had all you can take of the nip and you sit down, they come over and they lick your toes. Keep your feet clean. Is this working? This makes sense? You know, grace and mercy, we miss it sometimes because it's happening around us. It's like the guy sitting in the middle of a lake and he forgot his water bottle and he says, Lord, I need water. And the Lord says, look around. Oh, is it clean? Is it wet? Amen? So last week we talked and we talked about Philippians, but I think, turn with me to Philippians chapter 3. As you cruise to Philippians chapter 3, would somebody please read to me Philippians chapter 2, verse 13.
For it is God who's working in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Who's working in you? Why'd you get up this morning? You got up this morning because you had the will to get up because God put it in you. You're not here by accident. You're not in your home by accident. People are not displaced by accident from God's perspective. It's God who is at work in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And so it's easier to say, depending on what stage of this thing you're at, on a personal basis. So Paul says in chapter 3, and it's tough stuff, he's talking about the law. Could I, at least for our sakes, make the law our lifestyle in the past? Just let's liken it to how we've lived, where we've lived, our life circumstances. Can we do that? Where we're used to being? In our life circumstances, work, house, family circumstances, because those things are a law to us without thinking about it. We're not thinking about a legal court, but they're a law. I and there are things I depend on. Law, Paul depended on the law. He's talking about the law, and he says, as to the law, I was blameless. Don't tell me about being a Jew. I am the Jew of Jews. There's never been a better one. As to the law, I was blameless. You could argue that every one of us have been a part of all of this. No matter whether we were burned out or lived next door to someone who's burned out, if we have any, we've all been through the same thing. That's been the law of our life, and now we have a new law that's come and changed everything. Amen? And so Paul says in chapter 3, just think about this for a second. How many of us have suffered loss in some way? Every last one of us. If we haven't lost a home, we've lost friends that have moved away forever. Or we've lost what was normal. We're looking to find out what the new normal is going to be. Amen? My parson, the person this morning, was about forgiveness. But the bottom line was, it was an 11-day journey from captivity in Egypt, or the world, to the promised land, the very blessing of God. And because Israel rebelled and wouldn't listen, they stayed in the wilderness for how long? 40 years. And what did they do in that 40 years? They what?
They learned.
Did they? They griped and mild and complained. And I got a sneaking suspicion. I got a sneaking suspicion that when Moses died and the Lord, he had a private, because Moses and God were bros. I don't know how else to put it. Moses and God were really friends. God said so. Amen? And I think Moses might have leaned over on the Lord's shoulder and said, what did Joshua do to make you give him that job? They're a bunch of whining, griping malcontents in the midst of the deliverance and blessing of God. Amen. And yet, where did God go? He never left them, or aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? And I thought the irony for me was that Betty and I came down the hill. How many of us drove through the fire? Amen. Some of us for hours sitting in the road wondering. We got down to Chico to a friend's house, and he's a bachelor, and his house was cold because he just uses a little space heater. And I thought, this is really irony. He goes, I'll build a fire and get it warm in here. And I'm going, fire in the fireplace. Amen? There's a place for it. But we're here because God has not left us or forsaken us. And we're not quite sure how that's going to look for some of us. And so with that in mind, and we've all suffered loss, Paul talking about the law in verse 7, chapter 3 of Philippians says, but what things were gained to me, I have counted what? For what reason? If you're not walking with the Lord, if you haven't got a hope bigger than this earth, this is a tremendous loss. It's worse for people that have no hope. Because that's what we all need. Amen? I don't know, I drove by Craig Memorial Church, or what used to be. Most of you have no idea that that's the first organization on this ridge. 1897 or 87.
It's the first, it's the oldest organization of any kind. And the people go back to the Mayflower, the Congregational Church. I mean, its roots. I looked it back up. It was Craig Memorial Church was on Pearson. And that was the prettiest church in town, in my opinion. I always coveted it. You can have it now. Yeah. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish. What do we have back there for your home that's burned out? Rubbish. That I might gain Christ. Now let's ask this. Was he looking for Jesus? Why not? Because he already had him. It was Christ that was looking for him. You know, it wasn't Paul that wrestled with God. It was God that wrestled with Paul. Knocked him on his keister. Said, boy, I want to talk with you. Jacob means governed by God. Now, if you read in your Bible, Jacob, if you look in your Bible and look up the translation of the name Jacob or Israel, you'll find it says a prince with God. Okay? There's an alternate translation, and it's legitimate. And Calvary Chapel is about the only one that teaches it. And I had to go look this up for myself. And I knew it came from G. Campbell Morgan. I just knew it. If you're a Chuck Smith fan, he never had an original thought in his life. He got it from Morgan. We all did from somebody, amen? Sound theology is sound theology, and he gets it to us one way or the other. Who did Jacob wrestle with? The angel of the Lord. Amen? What was Jacob doing? Running from God. It's interesting. Jacob said, God spoke to Jacob and says, I'll bring you back here safe. I'm going to go out and take you in and I'll bring you back. And Jacob is not a man of faith at all. He's ripped his brother off, but that was a parental thing. You know, the parents should have told those boys. Do you ever not tell your two kids something you should have told them a long time ago and then later creates problems? You know, other people do that in other churches, but... If mom and dad had told the two boys without telling them who was born first, listen, Jacob, you get the inheritance, and Esau, you get this, and this is the way it's going to work. Could have avoided some problems, but that's not what happened. And so they had to tell a lie in order to get to the truth. Isn't that weird? Oh, it's sad. But so Jacob is on his way out, and he has a dream. And God says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bring you back here. And what does Jacob say to God? Oh, he doesn't go, oh, praise the Lord. God talked to me. He's still arguing for his space. He goes, yeah. If I get back here, like you said, and you fulfill your promise to me, then you'll be my God. I've noticed that other Christians besides me tend to try to bargain with God. Well, God promised me this. When's he going to give it to me? What has he promised us? Eternal life. Eternal life. When? When we die. When we die. Then he'll be my God, always bargaining. But he got back, didn't he? God will bring us back. He will take, he keeps his promises. And Paul began to realize, so it was God that wrestled with Jacob. It wasn't Jacob that wrestled with God. It was God that wrestled with Jacob, and He wrestled with Jacob until he had to put his hip out of joint. Why? Because he wrestled with Jacob till he was desperate for the blessing. He wrestles with us till we're desperate for the blessing. And Jacob means governed by God. Israel means governed by God. Now, it is means a prince with God, but it's interesting. And this is my personal bias, prejudiced opinion, okay? Since governed by God is a legitimate translation of the name Israel, as well as a prince with God, I'm convinced that human flesh wants us to be a prince with God. Oh, how we like being a prince. Oh, you're a prince with God. Oh, you're just a peach. You're just a prince. I'm God's prince. Not till I'm governed by God. And a prince is not a king. You're nobody's prince until you're governed by God. You want to be Israel? There's no one like the God of Israel who rides the heavens to help you. Called by grace, saved by grace, kept by grace, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ is what you are called to. Amen? So Paul says, verse 9, he has just said in verse 8, he says, I count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ, to be found in him not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is righteous, which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I might know him and the power of the resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings being conformed to his death if by any means, I might attain to the resurrection from the dead. And it's not that I've already attained or am already perfected or complete, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as apprehended or gotten a grip on it. But one thing I do. What's the next word? Forgetting. Is that a noun or a verb? It's a verb. Forgetting those things which are behind and what? Noun or verb? Verb. Forward to those things which are ahead, I what? Press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. We're never going to forget what has happened here. Not intellectually. Isn't that interesting? He didn't say, forget about it. What's forgetting? What's a verb? It's a movement. You're pressing on. We're pressing on. And you know what? We have to live. God didn't give us an option here. If he gave us an option, we'd be in heaven. Amen? He's left us here with this, and just like leaving our Egypt, the type of the world, we have heaven to gain, and we have nothing to lose here in the midst of what we've lost. Am I belittling what we've lost? No, not in the least. We've lost tremendous things. But perspective, a living hope. A living hope by the resurrection of Christ from the dead. A reason to get up every morning. We are going to be pressing on. One day at a time, 1 minute at a time. Like, we have a few kindergartens and first grade teachers in there. What they always teach you when you got out of school, hold hands when you're crossing the street. Brethren, what's this church do? What does the church do? We're here to hold hands as we cross the street. And we're here to remind ourselves of the point.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He who began a good work in you will complete it. And then, for you are his workmanship, created in Christ unto good works, that you should walk in them. Amen? So my new phrase, which I say to everybody when I text, it's one of my new things, is give them heaven and keep some for yourself. Amen? I run into spiritual people once in a while. I sent that to a pastor, and he sent back against, I want to give them Jesus. Okay. Amen? So we have laid out our plans for church for the next for the next month, looking at how things are going to go. What are we going to find? How it's going to go. And it's 1 minute at a time. Amen? Thank you to all the people who have clept up the parking lot. I don't want to miss anybody, but Armando and John and other people have swept and done things around here. Praise the Lord. We're here. Amen? We'll try to get the men's fellowship going again, and we'll see Thursday night Bible. Listen, Thursday night, I always wanted to try to do just like a regular church service on one night a week, so we'll try to do Thursday nights. If you want to come on Thursday night, Josh will do the worship, and whoever's here will do the worship, and we'll just try to do this. We'll see how Sunday, you know, we'll, for now, okay? Well, let's all stand. I want to give you two axioms that were given to us as Calvary Chapel pastors that are Calvary Chapel axioms. They actually belong to the body of Christ, but Pastor Chuck used to pound into us two things. Where God guides, he provides. Where God guides, he provides. The other is, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken.
This is the end of this message. For further information, please contact Calvary Chapel of Paradise, P.O. Box 295, Paradise, California, 95967. And may the Lord richly bless you as you study his word.